Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast.
We interrupt this podcast to bring you breaking news. You guys, welcome to a special edition of So Bad It's Good. Of course, we've been doing shows all week, but something just breaking happened a couple of hours ago, and wanting to bring this to you immediately, we're going to have Ronald Richards, the attorney, joining us in just a second. He's been on a couple of times and has been heavily involved in the Erica Jayne case. Now, we're going to go into this. He is getting off an airplane right now and going to the airport lounge to join us. So you got double shows today. You got the Vanderpump Rules with She Speaks Bravo, and we're going to get the latest news from attorney Ronald Richards. Now, this is just a fascinating story because, like I said on the podcast on Monday, we talked about with Sophie, was that these earrings, which were valued at $750,000 and were such a plot line on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills this season, all of a sudden, they were being auctioned off potentially for $250,000 to $350,000. Now, $750,000 earrings is what Tom Girardi spent for them, right? But then she told Garcelle on the show that they were worth like $1.3 allegedly. So even in my head, when I heard this news this past weekend, it just didn't add up to me. And now this is the breaking news that Ronald Richards will walk us through. I think he has receipts to walk us through. But he writes, we can safely report that the earrings that Erica Jayne gave to the trustee are not the same earrings on the sales invoice as known as the replacement earrings purchased through a tax fraud by Tom Girardi, where he falsely claimed the $750,000 check was a court cost. Now, we will break that all down for you, but I've done episodes before, as well as you've probably heard other people do episodes or have read articles in the LA Times that, you know, these earrings, there has been a long history, a provenance to them where they had gotten stolen. There was a second pair of earrings. Someday Lifetime will make a movie just about these earrings. So we are waiting for Ronald Richards to hit the airport lounge, and then we will walk through this together, and I am going to release immediately on Wednesday night. I mean, listen, it is Thanksgiving. We're all with our families, but this, and isn't it crazy that this is when they always release these things? It's usually like on a Friday night or right before the holiday. So waiting for Ronald, and I'll be right back with Mr. Ronald Richards. Ladies and gentlemen, directly off a flight, he is in a airport lounge right now, but he is going to walk us through what I think is an incredibly breaking news story in regards to the earrings that we've been hearing about all season long from Miss Erica Jayne, that Mr. Tom Girardi bought them. Ronald Richards, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to see you again, Ryan. I'm glad you were able to get
I mean, this
online.
Is before Thanksgiving, and we're sitting here talking about Erica Jayne and these dang earrings again, but this is very important. You just posted to your Twitter account a 16-page document which has literal receipts for these $750,000 earrings. Can you walk us through the documentation that you just presented online?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just going to open it up. It's funny because I highlighted it for the viewers, but I think unfortunately it when you upload it, it strips some of the some of my the tags. Details.
Yeah.
I guess that's what it is. Okay. So I just want to look at what you're looking at. Okay. So the first document that I posted is the receipt of the of what we would refer to as the replacement earrings. And the reason why this receipt is significant is because that's what she contended her husband bought her for the earrings that were allegedly burglarized in 2004.
And just to remind everybody, we've talked about that before. The earrings were allegedly burglarized, so they repurchased those earrings. This is a receipt for the second pair of earrings, and it says $750,000. It's a handwritten receipt from M&M Jewelry, and at the bottom, you see total $750,000.
That's correct, and they were purchased and shipped in July of 2007, and you'll notice they were shipped to Nevada to avoid sales tax. That's what the jeweler did.
Amazing. Of course they did. Okay. Yeah, very smart.
And of course, the irony of this whole thing is there's so much tax fraud going on by Tom Girardi here that you'll see in my documents that I just can't believe, like, even down to, hey, I'm not going to pick him up at your office. We could do a fake ship to Vegas. I really doubt he went to the Orleans executive office with $750,000 earrings.
Yeah, I doubt it. But the second page says it's a 7.02 carat, the weight. The color grade is H. I mean, it goes through all the documentation, all of this. The clarity is cloud, pinpoint, characteristics, extra facet. So it goes through all of these details. What is the important thing that we need to see in these documents?
Okay, well, on the first page, the first thing that is very important is you go down to the second to last line where it says CERT hashtag and then has two numbers. Do you see that on the first page? Second.
Yes, 1-1-3-7-5-8-0-4-3 and 1-3-3-5-5-6-3.
Correct. Okay, so those are what we call GIA certification numbers, and GIA is the basically the premier evaluator of diamonds. They're a very objective company. They're a top notch company, and they have a system for people in the business. And for full disclosure, the audience, I'm going to be bidding on these earrings to give my spouse a present for some of the abuse that Erica
has said to your wife. Yes. Yep. If you guys have been listening to the show or following Ronald, Erica has said some very nasty things to Mr. Richards and his wife. So this would be the perfect gift. And I said for a Black Friday sale to get these at $250,000, $750,000 earrings is a kind of an amazing bargain, right?
That's correct. Now, when I did take her deposition, I think she was friendly and professional. And I think a lot of the thing with my wife was just part of the fun.
Yeah,
I just want to be objective. She doesn't hate my wife. There's not. It's just
No. We're teasing and stuff like that. Yeah. I did say to the audience that I thought Diana Jenkins would end up buying these earrings back for her. So you might have some competition.
Yeah, I can't outbid Diana. If she wants to pay $500,000 for some other earrings, I'm going to let her do it because there's a lot of issues with this. But I'm going to bid it up pretty good. I mean, it's not going to go cheap.
So We see those two numbers on the first page. Those are very important, the GIA. And then what else are we supposed to notice here with these documents?
Okay, if you go to page two, you'll see the report number in the upper left-hand corner.
Yep, 1-3-7-5-8-0-4-3.
Okay, and if you go back to the first page, you'll see that matches the number on the document.
Yes.
Okay, yep. So like I'm going to do a little trial, like we're in trial right now. You can go back to page three and see the report number on there. And if you can go back to page one, you'll see that it matches the second number.
Yep, the 22, right? Oh, no, sorry, the 1-3-3-5-5-5-6-3. Well, page three, the GIA report number is 1-3-7-5-8-0-4-3. And guys, you can follow all along at Ronald Richards' Twitter account for your own while we go through this interview. But the numbers you're saying, they do match.
Yeah, they match these 2004 reports. So I just want to explain something to the audience. And you can always look at Ronald Richards and always ask me any questions. A jeweler of this caliber is not putting wrong report numbers on an invoice. I mean, that would be a massive fraud, and Girardi is a good client of his, and this is a good jeweler. He's a reputable jeweler. Okay, so there's the reports. It's interesting, were issued around the time of the alleged burglary. I found that an interesting fact, because most jewelers get an updated report because they were sold 3 years later. I have no comment on it. It's just an anomaly that I usually get a current GIA with the sale of the goods. So you know that it's been refreshed, some other person looked at it, and it should be considered. Yeah, a three-year-old report, there's nothing wrong with it at all, but I just found it interesting that the report is the same year of the alleged burglary. Okay, so let's keep going.
Okay.
When these are the new GIA reports, and they show of the same diamonds that's in possession that were evaluated, these reports are 6-carat diamonds in a
6.57 carat diamond. Yeah.
Yeah, with a different clarity. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want you to fall on the floor, Ryan. Are you sitting down?
I'm sitting down, Mr. Richards.
And I asked my wife the same question. Do diamonds ever shrink over time or dehydrate?
And that's a good question. That is because I wouldn't know that. I don't have any diamonds. Does that, what did your wife say?
She said, no, never. They never.
Okay. So you're saying it did not lose a 7.09 carats to a 6.01 carat, and it cannot shrink. So these are different diamonds.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something. If they were like 7.09 carats versus 7.05 carats, I could tell you that the person that was doing the updated report may have had a scale issue. Okay. You know, but no one makes a 1-carat to over 1-carat mistake. No one. That's like a totally, it's like from a Rolls Royce to a Ferrari to a Lamborghini to a Toyota. Like you in the diamond business. And
it just doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. No, not that kind of mistake.
So that's when were you aware? When were you made aware? This seems like a gigantic hole. When were you made aware that this? I mean, was this a fluke that you were like, wait a sec, these numbers don't match up? When did this start coming to light for you?
Well, because I wanted to purchase them, I had to do what's called jewelry diligence, and so I was, you know, it's hard because there's a lot of work product here, but let's just say, no one wanted to sell me some goods where there was a different than what was represented. Okay, nobody was going to do that. And so let's just say that it was very carefully disclosed, and I was asking a lot of questions about variances, that there's no assurance that these diamonds are the same in the sales receipt. But everyone has an interest here. Obviously, we want to have the thing sold because Erica's not opposing them. She didn't seek a stay. And the diamonds that are going to auction are very nice diamonds, but they're just not the same diamonds. So maybe there's an issue there.
Well, Mr. Richards, the question, so the diamonds she talked about all season long, the 750,000, and then she also told Garcelle they're now worth 1.3 million. Those are not these diamonds. Like, that's what I'm confused about. She gave the diamonds to the trustee. Is she saying that this diamond is the diamond she gave to the trustee, the 6.01?
I only want to say what she says in her declaration, which is later on, but I will tell you that the only diamonds the trustee received from Erica's lawyer are these diamonds.
The 6.01.
That's correct. I'm not going to in any way represent what representation she made.
Sure.
I could tell you in response to the turnover order, these are the diamonds that were presented, and they're not the diamonds in the receipt.
Which would then make sense why this weekend, you guys, when I was having a conniption on Monday's episode about how did these devalue from $750,000 to $350,000, and everybody wrote me in saying diamonds do not decrease in value. The princess cut is not, it's not as glamorous as it used to be, but it would not devalue that greatly. And this actually explains that so much better if those are not the diamonds at initial receipt.
That's correct. That's 100% correct. So, and I was wondering why there was a drop in value of like 70%, because I was like, you know, lawyers are not the best diamond purchasers, but I used to do a lot of criminal. I've gotten all sorts of things from clients to trade over the years. So I have a good diamond connection. So I was able to source these diamonds pretty thoroughly. And we couldn't come up with a reason why the appraisal was wrong. And I had to do some my own pushing to get these certs, because these then were got posted, but I needed the old certs to do a complete comparison.
Mr. Richards, is there any possible way that Tom, since he, you know, we have so many stories even lately from that FBI house that was potentially, I don't know, it looked like his son, who knows what's going on there. Is there a way that you scratch your back, I scratch yours, where he could, this appraiser could be a buddy and just like, will you appraise it way more so we can, you know, and it's also still cloudy how those first earrings got stolen and never potentially recovered. I mean, is there a way that somebody would inflate as a favor the value of these diamonds to begin with?
Well, jewelers, a lot of times when they do the appraisal for a client, they inflate the value. So the homeowner's coverage covers replacement value. There's nothing wrong with that, but they give the high value. There's something called the Rappaport sheets. There's a little bit of a range on the Rappaport. This has nothing really to do with that. What's amazing about this is that he bought these earrings, because you'll see when we go, let's just go to the next piece of evidence. I'll show you, like, there's too many checks and balances here. So we have Erica's declaration. And if you look at paragraph 8 and 9 and 10,
in approximately 2004 or 2005, as a gift due to either my birthday or our wedding anniversary, Tom Girardi gave me a set of what appeared to be expensive diamond earrings. This gift has high sentimental value to me. In approximately 2006, Tom Girardi and my home was ransacked while we were out for dinner. I had left the diamond earrings in a crystal container in my bathroom, and we discovered upon searching the house that my earrings had been stolen. As far as I know, Tom Girardi did not have any insurance on the earrings. I had no insurance on the earrings.
Correct. And if you read paragraph 10, just read that. That's the last
paragraph. 10 says, after the passage of a fair amount of time after the burglary, on a date I don't recall, but which I think was in 2007, Tom Girardi gave me another set of diamond earrings to replace the set had been stolen. The replacement earrings were basically a replica of my prior earrings that had been stolen. At the time, based on everything I knew, Tom Girardi and our marital community had extensive net worth, and Tom Girardi and Girardi Keese had very high income. I had no reason to doubt or question the source of funds used by Tom Girardi to buy the earrings. I never knew or heard anything from anyone to the effect that any of the gifts that Tom Girardi had given me at any time, including the earrings in 2007, were bought using money that did not belong to Tom Girardi or that belonged to someone else, which is huge, that last sentence.
Correct.
Okay, you guys, this is my favorite part of the show when we get to talk about our sponsor. And today's sponsor is somebody that I am so excited about, because I used this sponsor before they were ever a sponsor. Our sponsor today is the fine folks at Masterclass. That's right, folks, Masterclass. You can learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. I'm telling you, over the pandemic, this was amazing. I got to learn from Steve Martin. He teaches comedy on masterclass.com. I mean, just recently we talked again and again about Kris Jenner, because she teaches a class on Masterclass on the power of personal branding. How are you going to get better than learning from Kris Jenner? You have Bob Iger, which is fascinating that he's teaching a class. He teaches in business strategy. He actually just took back the reins of Disney tonight, Sunday night. If you're in entertainment, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He has a class on Masterclass. Gordon Ramsay teaches cooking, for the love of the Lord. Are you kidding me? And you can do all of these lessons from home. Masterclass is accessible on your phone, the web, your smart TV, and offering classes on a wide variety of topics, like I just said, and that there are hundreds more, all taught by world-class instructors at the top of their fields. Each class is broken out into individual video lessons, right? Usually around 10 minutes long. I can pay attention 10 minutes. You can pay attention 10 minutes. Members can explore at their own pace. And that's what I love, is when you sign up for Masterclass, you are a member. And you can explore the page. You can download different classes, master classes. You can explore at your own pace. Each class is supported by downloadable materials, class guides, recipes, or more. My gosh, I wish they gave me this option during high school. It would have been so much better for all of us. And these are all available at masterclass.com. So hundreds of video lessons from 180 plus of today's most brilliant minds available anytime, anywhere. Now, an annual membership starts at usually $180 per year. But guess what? With So Bad It's Good, our listeners, if you go to masterclass.com/sobad today, you can give one annual membership and get one free. Go check it out. I'm telling you, just put that in to the old web browser and check it out for yourself. This is the gift that I would tell my folks to get me, because my mom, and it gets sillier and sillier the older I get that email from my parents of like, what would you like for the holidays this year? And I'm like, I'm a grown man. But you know what? Masterclass would be the thing that I would ask for, because you get to learn lessons from people that you admire. Anything that is of interest to you, they have somebody to walk you through that, somebody that you respect, somebody that you admire, and it's just truly incredible. And like I said, wide variety of topics. You can learn how to write anything from a book or a screenplay to just a letter. You can learn how to communicate with your boss or your family. There's an immersive learning experience because it's cinema quality classes that give you unparalleled access to a renowned instructor. There's flexibility. Explore lessons in any order you'd like, across your phone, tablet, Apple TV, computer, and the go with audio mode. And like I said, lessons are approximately 10 to 15 minutes. So you get the additional resources as well. There's 11 categories, like I said, 180 instructors. But this is truly an amazing, amazing offer. I'm telling you, do this not just for you, but do this for the show. Because I think this is actually something that I can offer you that I am so proud of. Like, Masterclass is dope. I know this sounds wild. You're like, Ryan, we get it. No, but you don't get it. I've talked about Masterclass so many times on this program. The fact that they're actually advertising on it blows my mind, because it's something that I use and it's something that I know you guys would dig, or somebody in your life would dig. So please go to, like I said, masterclass.com/sobad today. And by the way, you guys, I'm going to talk about this all week until you do it. So just do it now. Do it today. And now back to our show. Picture a wardrobe upgrade with quality essentials at an unbeatable price. Quince has you covered with timeless pieces that never go out of style. You will have them in your closet forever. You guys, I got the blue sports jacket. I got the leather coat. I got the cashmere socks. I've bought gifts for my sister and my dad, and I love it. A black leather coat? Are you kidding me? I can wear that anywhere. And what's so amazing is that these prices I can afford. Quince has all the must-haves, like Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50, iconic 100% leather jackets, and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They do this by partnering directly with top factories. Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes that savings on directly to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, so you can feel good about what you're wearing on every level. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/sobad for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sobad to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/sobad.
Folks, I have been to a lot of weddings in my day, and I'm going to go to a couple of this summer, and it is always amazing to see because you get to eat the different food, you get to see the different venues, the emotion, the style, and you are taking mental notes for your future weddings. It's so stressful, the process. You go from like newly engaged bliss to overwhelmed by invitation paper and flower colors in the blink of an eye. But using Zola helps with wedding planning from start to finish and makes every decision easier so you can stay in your bliss. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake, Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a five-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Zola helps couples plan the wedding they really want with tons of unique features and personalized recommendations based on a couple's preferences. Every Zola wedding is as unique as the couple planning it. They've thought of everything you'll need and have built every tool to get you to I Do, including customized checklists to get you moving, keep you on track, and prepare you for what's next. So start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Now we finished your declaration. Now let's go to the declaration of the jeweler, which is on page 10. This was a declaration submitted to a law enforcement for a tax audit, and there's penalties for lying in an audit. So I believe the declaration would be accurate.
Okay. This just crashed on me because I think a lot of people are actually accessing these documents right now.
Okay. Let me try.
It just crashed on me. Let me open it back up. This feels like a episode of Perry Mason. Okay. It's coming back up. Okay. Here we go. The declaration. Well, are you talking about the $750,000 check on page 10, or are you talking about the declaration from Miss Xinzu?
No, I'm talking about the declaration from Arid Mazilian.
Oh, I, Arid Mazilian, declare as follows. I am principal of M&M Jewelers. Our family has been involved in the procurement and sale of major jewelry items for many years. If called upon, I could competently testify to the following from my personal knowledge. Tom Girardi is a client of our firm. He has been a client for many years. Many years ago, he purchased some large diamond studded earrings from us. He has purchased many other important items from us over the years. The diamonds were of exquisite quality and very large, and it was reported to me that the earrings were stolen along with other items in a break-in of their home. The entire home was trashed, and these earrings were kept in a small cup in the dressing room, Matt. The matter was one of serious concern, and Tom asked me to try to duplicate the earrings that were stolen. I did exactly that. I obtained earrings that were similar size, quality, and clarity. The cost was $750,000, the approximate cost of the first set. I believe the first earrings were a little bit more expensive. The actual value of the earrings is much greater if they were to be procured at Cartier or some similar store. I declare under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of California that the foregoing is true and correct.
Okay, so the jeweler corroborates that he bought new earrings, and I don't believe the jeweler put fake certificates on his invoice. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know a woman in the world that gets 14 carats and then downgrades to 12 if replacement. I mean, I just, there's like a lot of things that don't make sense. And then who leaves $750,000 worth of jewelry in a coffee cup when all your other jewelry is in the safe? Like, again, women are not that, in my opinion, they respect jewelry and they don't just leave it laying around the house so someone could break it and steal it. Okay. I think that, especially in LA, I mean, she's not dumb and they have a safe. It's easy to put your jewelry in the safe.
Especially something of that sort of value. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, these are, because what happens if a cleaning person came in? Why would you tempt people that even work for you like that? I mean, this is, these are high value goods. Okay. So then the next page on 11, you can see the check, right?
Yeah, the check is for $750,000 from Girardi Keys client trust account.
Yeah, and he bought it in March. It was delivered in July. And I'm going to tell you, this is a tax fraud because he, on the ledger, which I didn't upload because it's too many documents, is he says it was a court cost for the case.
A court cost for the case. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And right now, her lawyer is jumping up and down that he got an unsigned retainer agreement that said Girardi's fees were greater than what the firm received. So she couldn't have stolen, this couldn't be stolen funds because they're still entitled to collect another couple million dollars. That argument has a lot of flaws, but I don't want to get too granular on that. I'll let the judge worry about that. And it's on an appeal. He's trying to bring in all sorts of new evidence. And let's get to the next document. This is a tax document that in the middle of an audit for Erica and Tom's 2007 tax returns, where they presumably deducted the loss as a casualty loss. You see that?
Yep, I'm seeing it right here.
Okay, so what's relevant on this is that is if you just go down to page, let me see where I put it in there. What's relevant to this is that the following facts are true. Okay, he says, it's the first sentence, our home was broken into in 2007. Okay, where Erica says 2006. Now, I'm just going to tell you, a year is a long time, but what's remarkable about this is, are you saying that, I guarantee you, if we pull the burglary report, it's going to be after the date of when the goods were purchased. So
yeah,
I'm just saying that, in law, like if you're an audit is an important thing, you want to get the facts right. So was Tom lying to the auditor? Was Erica making a mistake when she testified? I don't know, but it's strange that they don't know when their house was broken. They had such a traumatic event of a burglary. Okay. It's just hard to believe that you got the year wrong. I mean, it's a big deal to lose that kind of jewelry. So he says she has $15 million in jewelry, but again, without waiving work product, she's never shown anybody $15 million in jewelry. Like what she's produced for her evaluation was never these earrings and never even close to $15 million in jewelry. There's a list of what she says she got. So was Tom lying then, or is she holding back evidence or representations now? I have no opinion on it. That wasn't part of my scope when I deposed her, but I think it's interesting that these things got to be flushed out. Okay. So, so they can't get the year straight. And then in this audit, he presents the declaration of the, jeweler. And if you see right above the signature, and I'll represent to you, that is his signature. A copy of the $750,000 check, because they're trying to support the tax loss. That's why this is germane, because he committed a lot of tax fraud. I mean, like, no question about it.
Yeah.
He made crazy deductions. Crazy. Okay. Now let's look at the last thing. This, you could tell your viewers, you're always on top of the latest filing. This was filed like 2 hours ago. I'm not going to speculate as the motive.
Oh, yeah. 11/23/22. Yeah. Here it is right here.
Yeah. If you look at, I highlighted it on my copy, unfortunately didn't upload, but if you look where, if you just read the description of the property, it'll be self-explanatory.
Various items of fine jewelry and watches from Cartier, Tiffany, and others, including the Erica Jane Girardi earrings, 7.09 and 7.02 carats, confirmed at 6.01 and 6.57 carats, per GIA certificates on auction website.
I'm not going to dare opine as to what that means, because I'm going to let other people do that. I don't want to aggravate anybody. I mean, but okay, so that's it. Whatever that means, it means.
Was this always on your radar? I mean, like, did this just come up on, I mean, the stuff we had just read before, this has always been out there. Was this something that you guys had already been like microscopically like paying attention to?
Well, I have a big pet peeve, Ryan. I don't like to do work unless something's going to happen. And as you know, everything gets continued, resolved. You know. So when I was bugging her lawyer saying, why haven't you filed a stay? You know, what is going on?
Yeah.
You know, let your priceless earrings get sold, the ones you love that are so why don't you be the hero and get the stay? And I was scratching my head, talking to colleagues saying, why isn't this guy stopping it? Because if these are really such sentimental earrings, you're going to let the trustee sell them? I mean, I got to tell you, I think the judge may, you know, could have granted a stay. It's not a crazy request, right?
Is this what she was talking about at the reunion when she was like, we're on appeal for legal reasons? Like, was that what she's talking about right here when she kept saying that to Andy?
Exactly.
Okay, so, but assumably...
In the reply brief, they revealed for the first time that they would accept a monetary payment if they won on appeals. So like whatever they netted at the auction, they were okay. So I caught that. It was in a footnote because what happened is, and again, I don't want to get into work product, but I made sure that one of the arguments on appeal was no standing, that the appeal's moot because she didn't move for a stay. So why are we trying to appeal a turnover order if you don't try to stop the sale and the sale's going to occur before the appeal is decided? You just made the appeal moot. Her lawyer's response was, no, we're going to take the money. Well, we're okay. We'll just take the money. So he created an injury, which creates standing, which created some relevance to the appeal. It wasn't moot. So it was like a chessboard.
Wow. That's amazing information for somebody that was so attached to these earrings. But in essence, these aren't actually even the earrings that she was talking about in the first place. There's like some Twilight Zone thing happening here, that these earrings are different earrings than the earrings that were talked about. So this is still now opens up a Pandora's box. What happens at this point? For you, you're trying to get these earrings for your beautiful wife. What happens though? Because you're going to get a false product. I mean, still probably good diamond earrings, but what happens on Erica at this point? Because she thinks, you know, she thinks she's like winning. I mean, she went to Elton John the other night with Diana and Lisa on a free ticket. What is going to happen at this point for Erica? What happens next? Because I feel like this allegedly points to a lot of fraud again.
I have no information about how this happened because no one thought, everyone assumed that the GIA would be consistent with the GIAs that were already listed and that were represented on the invoice, right? Why would potential buyer, I want to know if there's four earrings instead of two, because if they're rarer because of the name on the back, Girardi, which we would get removed. But there is a value, like it's a relevant fact if there's two sets of earrings or one set of earrings. I think you need to know that as the buyer.
Of course.
So, but now it's all out in the marketplace and you'll be buying it knowing that there may be another set that they're going to auction off in the future. Then I'd be forced to buy four of them.
But Mr. Richards, how did they not think that this all would be caught? That the GIA numbers, why wouldn't anybody say, yo, we got to hold back real fast because there is some real mismatching information that is out there that other people are going to be looking into that really don't do well for the case that we've been presenting?
One theory based on the evidence that I've reviewed and just my opinion, not based on any admission by Erica or any other personal knowledge, but just reading the court documents and giving my legal opinion, which of course is going to be an educated guess, is that when you're rushing, like at a bank, when you have a bunch of stuff in a deposit box, because I understand, like I've had cases like this, she could have just grabbed the wrong earrings. I mean, that's one theory, I mean, like they're all little diamond earrings sitting there. And if she really has $15 million worth of jewelry, it's a crazy looking box, right?
Yeah. And also we know that she puts like really expensive earrings in just little tchotchke holder things too. So she's sloppy with her jewelry. So that actually could be, you're giving, that's a good reason that these things could happen. It could be just purely accidental.
Yeah, and the ones that were purportedly lost. See, I always thought he's buying this kind of jewelry because, by the way, there's close to $2 million from just this one jeweler. So I always thought one of his ways he would reduce his tax liability is he would park money in diamonds and gold and deduct it as a cost. And then when you want to sell it, you know, you could tell your wife, look, we're going to sell this one. I mean, like, again, you know, they got along very well. I mean, she doesn't care. She's wearing beautiful jewelry. Maybe he said, look, we have to take that one back. I mean, her position's always been he had the last word. Whatever he said in her marriage, she listened to him. Like if he said, like, there wouldn't be a fight if he wanted to put something back.
Yeah,
if there was a business reason, because and so what I'm saying is that I just think that a mistake occurred somewhere. I don't, or that's one theory, or people aren't aware that the shirts, like they read the invoice, like her lawyer doesn't really know a lot about Twitter. Like, so sometimes we've had arguments about stuff and I just know he just doesn't know anything because he's older. Yeah. She may not know what a cert, when it's a CERT, she may not know there's actually a report that we can get. Like, you know, there's a mistake here, right, Ryan?
Okay, gotcha.
No one would do this.
Okay, so there has to be. But isn't it unfortunate, though, that so many mistakes seem to be happening for her in this? I mean, like, I feel like at this point, you would try to make sure there are zero mistakes made because there has been so much of a spotlight put on you that you would make sure everything is above board, especially with these diamond earrings, because it has been such a plot point for everybody, not only on the show, but these victims that are trying to get their money back as well. Why would there be any mistake at this point?
Well, because one, he filed this preliminary opposition like the next day. It was rushed. I don't know if people remember the climate. She was shocked that they were demanding the earrings and they were giving her all these proposals. And then there was just a breakdown between the trustee and her. And they're like, we want the earrings now. Okay. And they didn't want them to file this public motion and hurt her, like that she was not cooperative. And so they just filed it anyway. And I really believe there was some rushing going on. It was a rush time because a lot of times it's like Occam's razor. It's like a well-known legal theory. The most obvious reason is usually the right answer. So I don't think she's, you know, it's like there's the more nefarious reason or the less nefarious reason. That's just an innocent, you grab the wrong earring, you got a lot of jewels. I mean, to me, that wouldn't shock me.
And Bravo fans always want to believe the more nefarious reason. So you're
right.
Saying, but okay. So, so just what I just, the last thing, you've taken so much time with us today. Thank you so much, because you're going to have to talk to everybody about this. I have a feeling. Two questions. Will your wife still get these diamond earrings? Will you still bid on the 6.01?
I'm going to still bid on them because I think a 6-carat diamond earring is like a very large earring and they will pull your earlobes. I mean, if they're too heavy, and these are very good clarity and
sorry.
And I already told her I'm going to do it. So I'm going to, I don't have to beat like a billionaire. If someone really wants to pay a fortune, I won't win.
Yeah, you're not going to. Yeah.
I'm not, but I'm gonna try to get them. But I'm
that's
not,
very good. That's good of
yeah.
you. Okay, so then where do we stand with like then the trustees and all that stuff? What is the next step? Obviously, this motion or this thing just got filed. So this thing, what happens in terms of happen at this point?
The trustee and her lawyer, like, are now in a locked-in dogfight. They're accusing her of hiding evidence, of intentionally violating her fiduciary duties. I mean, crazy allegations that have absolutely no merit because they didn't want to flush out a retainer agreement. And so they're blaming the trustee. And instead of arguing all the issues in their appeal, which they filed a very good brief, Erica's lawyers wrote a very good brief, they are bringing in a declaration they filed with the brief to say to the judge, hey, if we don't win on these issues, I got a new one for you. Like one that's outside the record, which is not normal in an appeal. And so, again, I don't know why he's not moving for a stay. Then you can bring in new evidence. I mean, I just don't know what he's doing.
This is far from over for Erica. Like we said all year, she is going to be dealing with some form of legal proceedings for the next decade, potentially.
I think so. I think that unless she unless she settles, but she doesn't like to settle because she believes that all these things are hers.
Yeah.
So I don't know the judge, you know, I don't know what they're in front of one of the brightest judges in the federal bench. She may think their arguments are good. She may not, you know, it's hard to say, but this whole thing about new declarations and new evidence, I personally don't think she's going to reward them because it's her role is sitting as an appellate judge. She's not here to take new testimony. That's what the bankruptcy court is for. So I don't, but the allegations are unusually vitriolic and nasty because he's basically saying that they intentionally had a fake hearing and didn't tell the judge that out of the $65 million, they were entitled to $26
million. Yeah.
It's a lot of rhetoric for her lawyer to use. He's not normally like that. So I think that I just don't know.
Yeah. And also, I mean, it's all just incredibly fascinating, but incredibly frustrating, I'm sure, for Erica as well as everybody involved. I just find it there's going to be no end in sight. What also happened, like, to the Panther rings and all of that stuff? Because she claims she's only has so much jewelry, but like you said earlier in those documents, $15 million. So are we still trying to keep account of all of those rest of those jewels that we don't know where they are?
Yeah, but you can't just take her jewelry. You have to tie it to a misappropriation of the trust account.
The funds that were purchased. Yeah.
Yeah. The other jewels are from his girlfriends that they've returned. Like, unlike Erica, she did the right thing and returned the gifts because they were obviously problematic and she didn't want them. So she immediately returned them for her own reasons and so did someone else. So they have two women that have returned the gift. So that's what's going to auction.
And the State Bar of California, though, since they've gotten so much heat from everybody, the LA Times, is there a greater spotlight on this to punish even Erica in this now? I mean, I know that's not, you know, the law and the court, but I mean, you know, are they trying to make an example of somebody here? Because, you know, the State Bar has been proven to have done some really awful things here. In your opinion, are they going to make an example out of anyone?
No, I just think that conceptually, I'll give you an analogy. When I've represented poker players that beat a crook that was gambling in a poker game with other people's money, but my client won the poker game, they never want to give back the winnings because they're like, I won. All right.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with Erica. She says, I got these gifts. I didn't steal anybody's money. These were gifts from my rich husband. Why do I have to give it back? And it's counterintuitive. But in a bankruptcy, you can claw back money if it was stolen or misappropriated. It's just like that's how Madoff's trustee got all the money back from all the people that got the winning payouts. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And by the way, we know from the reunion that Erica doesn't really think about Ruth Madoff. This has been so interesting and fascinating. Thank you so much for taking the time, because I know you literally are at an airport. Is there anything else the audience should know or pay attention to? You can find all of this on Ronald Richards' Twitter account and his Instagram account. I mean, I truly learned so much from this dude's stuff. And also, I do have to point out to you, for as much as, like, you will banter back and forth with Erica at times, you will also be fair. Like, you're saying you understand what she's saying. I think you do say fair things about Erica. You're not always bad. I want to point that out, too. Like, you had many opportunities, and you understand that she says these are hers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can follow it at Ronald Richards on Twitter or at Attorney Ronald Richards on Instagram. But Erica, the reason why I pursue her is not because I'm fixated with her. It's just that people are afraid to challenge her because she's so aggressive. And I've just covered something that a lot of people just did not want to cover. A lot of reporters aren't independent like you, Ryan, and they want to get her PR releases, and they just sort of cut her a lot of breaks if she gives them stuff. Like, I was always adverse to her. And so a lot of the stuff I published is so the public could get the fair, you know, picture and stop having to listen to the false narrative that she's a victim in all this. I mean, she received more money from the Girardi marriage than anybody, over $25 million of expenses were paid, $14 million on her Amex. So it's not about whether Erica is a bad person. She just has no compass on whether she should return any of this money now that she's been made aware, looking in the light most favorably to her, of all the bad things her husband did, and nobody's disputing that. You would think she'd want to like try to resolve it and cut a check. It's okay, here's what I'm going to give back, and then let's be done with this. That's what most people do in all my poker cases, all the Madoff cases. I will let you know, most people, when they're told, hey, you were paid with investor money, we want back 50%, 25%, most people settle because the law, that's the law. It's not me making it up. You just can't have other people's stolen funds and only you benefit from them. I mean, like, it's like the last example is like, if your husband's a bank robber and he buys you a bunch of jewelry from the bank robbery, you think you get to keep it? Like, come on.
But the housewives, what we know, you guys, is that they have ego, and that's what we're dealing with here. Mr. Richards, thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving to you. I'm thankful for your interview. Tell your wife I said hello, and hopefully, I mean, I just love talking to you. So hopefully hopefully she'll do something else, so I'll get to talk to you down the line again. Okay.
We'll see each other soon. Sorry it took so long to connect, but we'd have a good one today.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Betches.